Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello, and welcome to the show tonight. I'm so glad you chose to join us. The topic tonight is Awakening the Human Persona, and our guest is Dr. Todd Ovakides. You know, before we get into the show, I want to share some excitement. I'm giddy about our human potential. I'm giddy about where we're going and this vehicle we're taking this journey on, and that's our own human nature, our own human story. One of the advantages of being a host on a show like this is we get to have such a diverse set of guests, and they bring such deep insights, very much like Dr. Todd will share with us tonight, about our human story, about our human persona, about our human potential, if you will. It just fascinates me to daydream or contemplate this canvas of creation we're all living on. We can look up in the night sky and see just billions of stars, billions of similar models of solar systems, of planets, of locations where similar storylines are playing out, and here we are on planet Earth. Here we are now in our human story. And so many guests have shared with us that this chapter here and now that we're living out of our human story has been talked about for a very long time in the folklore, in the mythology, in the elders foreseeing it years ago, the Mayan calendar, the 2012 transition, and the reawakening, the golden era, the dawn of the new age, if you will. And that's what we're living through right now. The more I have guests on and the more I read books that talk about this human paradigm, this human storyline that we're going through, we're just barely scratching the surface of what's awaiting us, what's awaiting the reawakening, our own personal discovery of our own divinity, this holographic arena of God consciousness that you are a part of, I'm a part of, and the timeless idea of karma and the playing out of story through our human condition. I tell you what, I get goosebumps when I think about what's going to unfold here on planet Earth, here with you and me participating. We all have a role in it. We all have our part of it. We all have our own unique snapshot of heaven on Earth within us now. And the reawakening of our divine human blueprint is just phenomenal. And tonight's no different. I love bringing on people for you on the show that get a glimpse at that deeper understanding of our human condition, that deeper understanding of DNA, of the mechanics of being human. And tonight's topic's no different, awakening the human persona. And our guest tonight, Dr. Todd, he has an exceptional bio that I'm just going to touch over briefly before we jump into the interview. He's been interested with a passion for science since he was about 5, and as that progressed, he was accepted into an accelerated combined graduate-undergraduate program at Johns Hopkins University Medical School, which conferred both a bachelor's and master's degree. He also had advanced training at Georgetown University Hospital with a residency and a chief residency in internal medicine, followed by a fellowship in pulmonary and intensive care medicine. It was during his pulmonary fellowship, a specialty that concerns the lungs, where Dr. Todd began his research with cells of the immune system. Many procedures were done on AIDS patients to diagnose their lung problems. And observing this dire disease firsthand and the toxic results of early medical treatments, Dr. Todd developed a passion for finding better solutions. Towards the end of his fellowship, he became aware of the benefit of holistic medicine for improving the function of the immune system while building rather than impairing the function of other systems. And not only that, Dr. Todd is also part of the Cryon team. In addition, he developed the pineal tones, a system that uses the human voice to produce tones and overtone patterns that can balance and center the body, mind, and being, and are intended to create an enhanced state of awareness through sound. They are now performed all over the earth as an individual practice and through choir performances. I could go on and on about Dr. Todd's background, but, you know, it's time to get him on the show. And now, without further ado, let's welcome Dr. Todd on the show. Dr. Todd, it's so nice having you on the show tonight.
Thank you. Great pleasure being here with you this evening.
You know, when I looked over your bio, you've been involved with such the core aspects of our human demeanor, our human experience, both from a Western academic perspective, and yet you have no problem going to the esoteric and ethereal aspects of our human personality. Can you give us a little background as to how you got where you are now?
What an excellent question. So I had the unique experience, perhaps, of getting introduced to Eastern mysticism at the same time I was starting medical school. So I would study Western medicine by day and Eastern mysticism by night. So I really got a very balanced perception and perspective on both. And to my mind, it's all information. And if someone wants to really find solutions, I would explore everything that's in the universe of possibilities before deciding what is best.
Sure, it's kind of hard to sentence all that is with just a paragraph. So when you look at the notion of the awakening of the human persona, what context? I mean, what brought that about as a title?
Everything that we do, and I say we as the various research teams that I'm working with, it really is about exploring the nature of an envelope of the human potential. And our first area that's really exciting is the creation of better health, and ultimately our capacity to take the limits off of our barriers to longevity, especially youthful longevity. And ultimately, all of that is a servant to the interest in human consciousness itself. So what serves the capacity to be more aware, more expanded, more perceptive? And what is the true human potential? We know that certain individuals have done incredible things. We have firewalkers, levitators. We have reports of biolocation. We have esoteric books like Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East that talks about amazing beings who can be seen to disappear at one moment, and then a scientist on the team sees them reappear 1,000 miles away a few minutes later. So there are even scientists that have attempted to look at what is the capacity for us to express ability? And those scientists, if you have read that incredible series of books by Bear T. Spalding, their goal was to disprove it all. They went there to debunk it. They went there to prove that the fakers, or fakirs as they call them, were fakers. And they found authentic masters that showed them things they could hardly fathom. And I believe that we have so much that's unexplored and untapped that there are those individuals that will dedicate a lifetime to moving the envelope, at least creating an example of what's possible. And our interest is really understanding what are the dynamics of moving to a higher level of the human experience, of expressing even more of someone's potential, so more of who one fully is, you know, what they can possibly be, what their genetic potential as an archetype for them. There is a whole range of ways that may express. So what are the ways we can support the biology, the vibrational state, the awareness state, the use of consciousness, use of intention, even the use of cellular therapy that we're getting into with more innovative techniques with stem cells and how to give them signatures of where to go and what to do. All these, I believe, are really about expanding our state of health, of longevity, but more than anything, what is our potential for consciousness, for awareness? What can we be? What can we express? And if you take illness out of the equation, if you add longevity to the equation, and people are healthy and long-lived, then what will people do and what can people do? I think we then have the potential for a very creative, very fun type of experience.
I like that. So, I mean, we've lived in the past. I mean, that's a cliche, but we didn't really have any powerful dynamic view of what's possible. And now, within just even the last 100 years or so, we have the internet, and every single scientist or inventor has so much information available to them, even while they sip a cup of coffee in the morning. How is it that we're finding such powerful ways to awaken our human persona after such a long time without? Does it seem like the human paradigm has these hidden clues in there, and then as we wake up, we learn about aspects of ourselves that have been dormant in the past?
Wow. There are lots of ideas. Those are huge landscapes that you're talking about. And what is probably more unique now than ever is the immense access that everyone has to information that was difficult to find before. And I believe that there have, through the ages, been isolated people and groups of people that really have just put their whole lives to exploring some aspect of human potential, whether they've been meditating 12 hours a day in a cave, whatever their practices have been, that there have been those that have really dedicated themselves to the question, the challenge of what can they be, what can they express, but they've been isolated, they've been secluded, they've probably mostly been secret. And what's unique now is that even information that's been largely unknown except to people in very select experiences is becoming more and more widely available. So there is a discussion in scientific circles, particularly when we get into longevity medicine, that we're in a time unprecedented, really, of an exponential increase in human knowledge that information is being evolved so quickly that whatever we know today, we will know multiples of that 10 years from now, and multiples of that 10 years after that. So, for example, from the standpoint of theoretical projections for human longevity, there are two books that discuss this. One is Aubrey de Grey's bold book called Ending Aging, where on the back cover he writes, people reading this book today could live to be 1,000 years old. And there's another, which is by one of the great inventors of the day. And I believe it's Fantastic Voyage, and not the movie, the book. And he makes a statement that this knowledge is expanding so rapidly that if you can live 5 more years, there's a technology to live 30 more. And then if you can live 30 more years, our longevity might not have a particular cap.
Right.
Into 3,000, 5,000 years, maybe even more, may be possible. So will we achieve these things? Who knows? But what's possible on so many aspects, on every front of biology, biochemistry, material science, energy production, propulsion methods, capacities for travel beyond Earth to our moon or to other planets, all of these are expanding so rapidly that our capacity to create whole new worlds, whole new types of civilizations is really unprecedented. And I think more than anything, it has been the internet where we're all so connected and we can all have access to essentially almost the world's total historic database at all times, that any new piece of knowledge in one area can get literally linked into multiple other areas, which is why it gets to be so rapid. In essence, instead of arithmetic one step at a time, it's like multiple steps at a time, and those steps then give rise to many times those number of steps and so forth. So what we can do now is almost limited to our imagination, where we'll be even a few years from now. We're all co-creating it in this moment.
Right. Very nice. Can you share with us some of, I mean, you're on the front lines of what you just talked about. You are going into that realm of exponential learning, if you will. Can you share with us what you've been working on?
Sure. Absolutely. Some of the most exciting recent work has been in the area of agriculture, interestingly enough. For over a decade, we have worked with a type of light technology based on lasers to create a new type of waveform. So lasers do many great things, and we start with a laser and then have an optical device that converts a laser beam into something different. We are able to align the laser waves not such that they're in phase, which is the usual case. We can pair waves that are exactly out of phase to make wave anti-wave pairs.
Sure.
Then have the shape of DNA, literally a spiral, anti-spiral of light. And we sum the electric and magnetic field vectors to zero, which dramatically alters how far that will go through tissue. And then there is a residual light that oscillates incredibly rapidly on the order of femtoseconds, which are millions of billions of seconds, or millions of nanoseconds.
Sure.
We can actually impulses as fast as molecules vibrate or rotate, and we can send them deep into tissue, or we can use them to stimulate molecules to be more biologically active. So the proof of biological activity is perhaps most evident in our agricultural experiments, where the government of Mexico has funded two very large programs. The first year, 2,500 acres. The next year, 5,000 acres of growing beans and corn, which, of course, are huge food security items. And the basic formula is organic friendly, which has probiotics and minerals from the sea, a protein source from kelp grown by the colleague we work with, metabolic activators like iodine, and a few other special ingredients depending upon the plant being grown. And he's developed this over 20 years, and if he sprays that product on the leaves and stems, where 1 liter is enough to be diluted in water for 2.5 acres, so it's really quite potent. You know, 1 quart is good for 2.5 acres. That the results he gets with beans, for example, is about a 20% increase in yield, and he roughly doubles the level of iron and zinc, and at least triples the amount of copper. That's already a great result, but if we take that exact formula and we use our laser technology with these unique characteristics of how the waves work and how the pulses are so much more rapid, that instead of a 20% increase in yield, we get a 60% increase in yield, tripling the relative yield, and any increase over 7% is considered significant. And here we've basically got 40% more yield, and all we've done is added this activating energy from the laser. But it doesn't stop at the remarkable increase in yield. It also has the effect on the level of nutrients in the plant. So instead of the zinc being doubled, it's 5 times more than control. Instead of the iron being doubled, it's 6 times more than control. And instead of the copper being triple control, it's 15 times the control. So we're tripling relative yields, and we're increasing nutritional content roughly 2 to 5 times that of the nutrients themselves, and as much as 5 to 15 times that of the control plants. We're actually reversing the trend of soil getting worse. We actually can regenerate even badly damaged soil in about 3 years, as well as the tendency to have the vitalized food with poor nutrients. We can have 5 to 15 times more micronutrients within one growing cycle. And there are the vibrational effects as well. So I believe in the agricultural world, we're creating higher yields of higher nutritionally dense, high vibrational, awareness-enhancing, health-promoting food.
And with a tool like that, you could give countries their own sovereignty where they had no no attachment or dependency on other countries, and they could self-sustain, which would take some of the political and economic pressure off the countries as well. You know, I'm fascinated by this idea of this thing called life. I mean, life has been a vibrant thing on this planet for such a long time, and there's such wisdom inherent in life, kind of like the divine blueprint of our human potential. How is it that you're getting such yields out of crops? I mean, it's almost like crops had some karmic element to them that suppressed their true potential, and then you come along and through these mechanisms you've discovered, which is brilliant, and I love it, and get such a completely different result from it. It kind of blows the doors off of what we should or shouldn't, we shouldn't even use that sentence, of what's possible in the future. When you work with living cells like that and you go to influence them and you see such a dramatic shift, how does that feel to interact with life and get such a response?
Well, I could hardly imagine any work that's more exciting than the work that we're privileged to do. First, with this technology of life that we have developed and are using in various ways, And also, we may discuss later, even the technologies of sound as simply and elegantly as that produced by the human voice. So these vibrational attributes, whether it's creating new forms of light, starting with a laser becoming something much more complex, or with the human voice, but then using multiple voices in certain ways to create very substantial complexity, even from the sonic basis. So these vibrational technologies, if you wanted to call them that, I don't have to give anything more exciting than to be involved with them, to experience them, to learn, and especially to see the transformative effects that we have on the people that we work with. Or the plants as well. It's pretty exciting to see an ear of corn that normally would be 200 grams that now weighs 900 grams.
Wow. I mean, you're changing the paradigm itself. You know that. I mean, food's a pretty, people are pretty fond of food, and for you to change that paradigm, that's a powerful influence in our human culture.
Well, it'd be great to have just really good, nutritious food, wouldn't it? That you could comfortably eat and not worry about what's in it.
Yeah. The when we talk about awakening the human persona, I mean, when I loved it when they took the Hubble Space Telescope and they found the darkest patch of the sky and they parked it there for a very long period of time to get to capture the faintest light coming out of this dark spot of the night sky, and over time there were just so many galaxies that showed up on the print that it, for me, it seems like this human story, and here on Earth we've gone so far in just 100 or 200 years, which is nothing in the cosmic scale. It seems like the evolution of our human experience has been pre-programmed, if you will, into our DNA, into our higher wisdom, and as we evolve our consciousness, we come into these realms of opportunities of new understanding, of new results. Like, for example, when you work with sound and you're looking at this human activation, tell us about that process, how you come about deriving the results you get.
Right. The work with sound, or the joyful journey with sound, as it were, was inspired by something quite esoteric, which was the idea that there are layers of DNA that are invisible. While our human organism is constructed and driven and regulated by physical parts of DNA, the engine of producing the various proteins and structures in the body, like a gigantic encyclopedia that contains all that information and then spools it out as needed, that there is a concept that beyond the physical DNA, there are deeper layers, deeper dimensions, but these dimensions are not available to us, that they need a type of code, as it were, almost like you're opening a safe, a particular set of sound tonal frequencies, like Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Right,
and
yeah.
If you get the right set of tones, the right patterns, that the doorways get open, and that layers of human remembrance at the soul level, layers of human capacity, then become open. So the work I'm doing with tones was really more a meditative process of looking with the inner vision, as it were, at the layers, and then experimenting with tones until literally observing the doors open, and then creating constructs of that people can sing. And every year we find a PowerPoint on the planet, and we gather hundreds of people and sing the patterns, and the patterns usually go in pairs, where one pair is at a certain tonal frequency a complementary pair is often at a different frequency and often different syllables and sounds, and they work together to create very complex overtones and harmonics. And it's very stimulating and very energizing and expanding. And the primary intention beyond musicality and sounding otherworldly is about activating the dormant parts, the parts that have been asleep. So people have had huge awakenings and revelations, physical balancing of many sorts, but mostly it's been the awareness experiences that have been particularly satisfying, where people really can expand what they experience beyond this reality in profound ways.
And from that comes a new realm of awareness and perception?
Often, yeah. Like what people can become aware of throughout the spectrum of senses. So subtle sight, subtle auditory perception, connecting with what you'd probably call your higher information, the ability to simply be still, ask a question, and get profound answers.
Right. And those answers would be the new perspective, the new awareness to transcend the old paradigm or the old stigmas.
Exactly. Yeah. Taking another step, as you would say, to an expanded human persona.
Right. Well, I think humans are such especially our soul aspect is such a multidimensional part of our persona. I think we're at such a doorway of awakening, like you were mentioning earlier in the show, how quickly, in the past 5 years we've expanded life 30 years. I mean, and we're such n-dimensional beings that I think it's going to be hard to document all the vastness of what we bring in through these new realms of awareness into our human experience. It certainly makes for an exciting time to be alive.
This is arguably the most incredible time in all of human history to be alive, what we've all worked towards, literally.
From my perspective, for example, we all poof, we turn into beings of light, and we've evolved and we embody, God consciousness, whatever. There's nothing to resolve. If you look at the scale of human consciousness, and just to have a relative scale, if you're in a room, the ceiling would be one, or non-local space or God consciousness, and on the floor would be so much flipping karma, your next breath is in question, PTSD or whatever, and a common cold will knock you over the edge and you'll die. In order to have a quote powerful experience, you have to have a dynamic range. If there's no difference of potential, there's no power. So our souls chose to go into darkness. We chose to load up our consciousness with all this karmic quagmire so we could have a difference of potential, so we could have the experience of not having a flipping photon in sight, in other words, no sign of our divinity. And just look at the collective culture, the quagmire we're in. I mean, we've made a nuclear arsenal and even had a thought process to build that out. I suggest, from my perspective, this lifetime, not the next one, this lifetime is the last lifetime of the most dynamic range of human consciousness to be transcended within a single persona, possibly in one lifetime.
For humanity as a whole, that could probably be true, that more people will experience higher degrees of collective transformation, in that magnitude of the dynamic range, each person will sort themselves, like how much of a leap they're ready to take in terms of that awareness spectrum, that it will probably be the biggest dynamic range and probably the most change ever as well.
And consciousness is exponential. So if you move a gnat's ass, you're in a whole new paradigm. And we're taking the brake off, dropping the clutch, and romping on the throttle. It's going to be one hell of a ride if it's not already.
Well, new world, baby. That's right. Like Back to the Future, but you're not sure what it's going to look like when the DeLorean stops.
Right. Well, like some of the work you do with laser, I like how you bring the you create a 180 phase of it, and then it nulls out. So, and yet it still has information to carry into the cell. When you work with devices, machines, lasers, oscillators, and whatnot, do you think that anything that we do with a machine, we could ultimately do with our consciousness?
I believe that wholeheartedly. And people have asked, well, why should we take a supplement that has been laser energized? And there are a few things that I would say. One is that when we evolve to the point that we can live on pure prana, we can literally draw the life force from the ambient energy around us and don't need to eat food, yes, then you won't need to take any supplements. But until then, while we're evolving to that state, then it makes sense to consume very pure, high-frequency, high-vibrational, concentrated food as a way to facilitate the biology being able to step vibrationally in that direction. And then the other thing I will usually say, if I have time to continue, is that I believe this really is training wheels, that this is a step in the direction of using technology as a bridge to something I believe that in time we'll be able to do with our consciousness itself.
Very nice. So when you look at our human condition, how do you see this unfolding as far as a platform to support and benefit more and more of the collective consciousness, I mean the masses?
Mm-hmm. Well, if I may spend a few minutes, let me describe what I see as the new paradigm of health and wellness.
Please do.
So at the basis is going to be nutrition and lifestyle. And one of the powerful evolutions, I believe, is going to be simply nutritional metabolic medicine. And we work with vibrationally enhanced nutrition or ultimately vibrationally enhanced produce, where it's captured within a vegetable or grain that would normally be consumed. So the first part is nutritional metabolic, where the body is getting what it needs as the primary medicine. Even Hippocrates said, let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. And then there is a role for supplements that fill gaps in what we're able to get to the current diet. So some combination of really good food and targeted supplementation, and in some cases even more specific metabolic modulations. And I think pharmaceuticals, drugs, quote-unquote, really is another form of metabolic medicine, but I put it in the spectrum. And first I would use food, then I would use supplements, third I'd use more specific and exotic metabolic nutrients, and ultimately, finally, drugs. And I think our paradigm is topsy-turvy. It's usually drugs first, and food and nutrition last. It's flipped around. There will be a lot less need for pharmaceuticals. And when one consumes a pharmaceutical with a well-nourished body, the likelihood of adverse effects will be a lot less. That's the first part, nutritional and metabolic. And the second part is vibrational. So doing with the laser to enhance vibrational states, what we can do with tones and sound patterns to enhance vibrational states, what other forms of electromagnetic medicine are doing are all enhancing the vibrational component, or the vibe technology you probably talked about, or the more exotic work of the Lakovsky multiwave oscillator vibrational method, or even the not known but incredible work of Antoine Priori and his device that was able to have anti-tumor and anti-parasitic effects very profoundly, which was allowed to evolve to a certain point and then, in a sense, got stopped. So vibrational medicine, cellular medicine, and we're working with the area of laser-guided stem cells. So, for example, we did a study in Eastern Europe in persons with heart failure. And to put it in perspective, with stem cells given directly into the coronary arteries by cardiac cath, a large analysis of many published studies showed that there's about an average 8% improvement after 6 months. And that's giving the cells straight into the coronaries. We have a way of waking up stem cells with the laser and then giving them direct instructions of where to go and what to do. Literally, the information, go there, stay there, and repair there, as the signature goes through tissue, that instead of an 8% improvement in 6 months, we had a 14% improvement in just 3 days, and a 25% improvement in 1 month, and a 50% improvement in 3 months. So at the earliest stages, just 3 days later, the result was roughly twice as good, 60 times faster, and done non-invasively by IV as opposed to into the coronary artery. So we're combining vibrational medicine, cellular medicine, and metabolic medicine, given nutrition, they're able to do things even with human conditions that have not been possible before. And in addition, there is the piece called psychoemotional medicine, where it's possible through methods such as biological decoding or biological reprogramming and many, many others that address the subconscious and the psyche, to find this specific emotional stress conflict that is the driver of causing a condition. That there is the idea that a disease is a word spoken not with the mouth but with the body, that an unconscious stress not expressed, the brain will create a biological solution for it that we call a disease. So if we combine the psycho-emotional, the nutritional metabolic, with the vibrational, the third, and ultimately the spiritual medicine as well, and intention, we'll have a completely different paradigm that's about promoting even higher degrees of wellness, much greater longevity, and also supporting the whole evolution of the human organism to support expressing its highest capacity level.
Wow. Impressive. Oh my God. Man, you're all over this stuff. When I was reading your background before we got to the show, I'm very impressed with how thorough and diverse and passionate your work is. I mean, it's exceptional. So when you talk about vibrational medicine, now stem cells is something I don't have in the cupboard here at home. But when you talk about supplementing our food, is that done early in the process of the life of the plant, or is it done on the way to market, or could we even have like a microwave, but not a microwave, food, you put it in the apparatus and then it vibrationally enhances within our own home?
Well, that's a really interesting idea. We also might have these vibrational devices, potentially laser-driven as our platform, potentially other types of vibrational waves that ultimately take with, so like the anti-microwaves, because microwaves tend to deaden food as
sure, right.
They tend to demagnetize, which may reduce the not only the life force, but may so demagnetize that it creates a problem for the cells when it's ingested.
Right.
That could be like literally the antidote, the anti-microwave, where the actual life force is amplified and magnified before eating it. To answer your question more precisely, as an example, with corn in the produce, there are specific points in the development of corn, for example, where the added nutrition, this vibrational enhanced nutrition, would be given. In the first 2 weeks after the corn sprouts, if you provide the enhanced nutrition, you increase the number of stalks that have 2 ears of corn quite significantly. And then 3 weeks later, you increase the number of rows of the kernels of the corn. And then if you do it again some weeks later, you increase the number of as it were, looking at it like a column, you increase the length of the kernels, the number of kernels in the row, and then ultimately, right before harvesting, it just makes all the kernels bigger. So if you do it at very specific points in the plant's life cycle, you optimize each step and get the greatest increase in yield.
Wow. So if the DNA, and I reserve the right to be, I'm just trying to wrap my noggin around what you're talking about. So I have a corn seed and I put it in the ground, and if I don't do anything to it, it's going to come out based on the DNA imprint. And then you're talking about as the growth of that kernel progresses, you go in there and it's almost like you're reprogramming the energetic body or the holographic persona of what's going to be later on. You're increasing rows. You're literally changing the blueprint, if you will, of what's going to be as that plant grows. Well, is that right?
That's a great way of saying it. It's also not making the plant do anything it's not already capable of doing. It's more optimizing its whole biological potential, expressing more of what it could express, which it doesn't if it doesn't have the optimal conditions of soil nutrition, soil biology, water, and climate.
Sure. Wow. Huh. So, okay, well, let's flip that over, and we've been talking about plants. What about the human body?
So, because we're doing something new, we have done a lot more clinical research than other companies, for example, in the nutritional environment. So what has supported our work is a company called Gematria, and there are a variety of formulations that have been developed for various purposes, and a dozen of those have been subjected to controlled clinical trials. So it's quite a lot compared to other companies that just go on third-party research, but actually do direct research on the formulas, particularly as they are activated or energized by the laser technology. And one thing that's particularly interesting, because a number of cool things about it, is a formula we've developed called Methuselahite. And that, of course, is after the biblical figure who, in Genesis 5:27, I believe, was said to have lived to be 969 years old. And you wonder, well, is that possible? I always thought it was metaphoric, but now that I've learned certain things about dormant stem cells in our body, I think that kind of longevity actually is biologically possible if we start activating dormant mechanisms. So we've created a formula that is based on a missing part of human nutrition. And that is, interestingly enough, supplementing the building blocks of DNA and RNA. Now, nutritionists will tell you that the body makes enough DNA and RNA to give us what we need. But more recent work shows that under stress or with aging, the body doesn't make enough DNA and RNA building blocks for optimum regeneration of tissue. And there was an animal experiment that was really compelling, which took old animals, and they were all day 750, and normally lived to be up to 900 days. And the controlled animals lived no longer than usual, no more than 150 more days. But the treated animals that got once-a-week injections of DNA and RNA lived a minimum of 850 additional days, up to 1,500 more days. So they doubled and tripled the natural lifespan of the animals.
Wow.
And that, furthermore, is the greatest enhancement of longevity for a mammal in any reported study. So we took that basic idea, and then we provide the building blocks in a very bioavailable form, which is a sublingual spray. And then we laser activate those nutrients, combine it with the amino acids the body uses to make nucleic acid. We're also giving the building blocks to make those substances. And we did a controlled clinical study. This is University of Pretoria in South Africa, where the people in the study simply used the basic recommendation of 6 sprays per day, which is about 1 cc. And then they were also advised to walk 30 minutes a day. Then there was a placebo group that took something that looked and tasted the same, but didn't have the active component. And after 2 months, there was almost no change in the control group in terms of their biomarkers of aging, but the treated group lost 15 pounds of weight while gaining 10 pounds of muscle and increasing aerobic capacity almost 10%. So biologically, after 2 months, the people in the active formula group were on average 8 to 12 years younger biologically in just 60 days.
Wow.
Yeah, that is an example of the sorts of things we do with this laser-energized nutrition, looking at how we can make the body physically, dynamically healthier, younger, more youthful, more robust. There probably is a vibrational enhancement as well. We actually have some Kirlian photography, which suggests that there are also dynamic changes in sort of the life force principle of the body and filling vibrational gaps as well. So that point would be one example of something very simple based on core biological principles and basic research and clinical studies that we put that formula together in a sound biochemical way. Then we use this vibrational enhancement to test it clinically, and the result is, you know, safely and effectively, the people combine it with a modest amount of exercise, that their biology, their biomarkers of aging, are reduced 8 to 12 years after 2 months.
Wow.
And then we have another formula, which is called Complete Aminos, with the 20 amino acids that are the building blocks of protein. And we did a study in Russia for regeneration of heart tissue. And those results were so significant that we have a granted U.S. patent on it. And we showed that with the active formula, there was a roughly 25% increase in cardiac function just after 1 month of use, whereas there was about a 10% reduction of function in the control group. Not only that, collagen production, you know, the stuff that makes your face look young and your joints springy and healthy, was doubled within 30 days in the treatment group and unchanged in the control group. So if people want to look at the scientific details, that is U.S. Patent 8404733. And if people are interested in these formulas that are listening, they can go to gematria.com. You probably write this out for people, but just in case they're listening and want to write it down, it's gematria.com. And if you like, and so we can see who's actually listening, we might even give a discount code. And I kind of like the name New Hue for New Human, N-E-W-H-U. And we'll call it New Hue 20 for a 20% discount, which will be good till the of April. So we'd be quite interested to know if people listening actually would take a step and use some of these vibrational enhancers, because I believe it's doing more than just the physical things we're talking about. I think it is, in addition, a vibrational enhancement that people who are sensitive will tend to feel.
Well, I like that. Well, you know, we're stuck on this temporal timeline. I don't want to say stuck, but we're experiencing time in a linear way, and we're coming to the end of our hour. I want to make sure our listeners know how to connect with you and your work. Can you share with us any material or websites you want to convey?
Absolutely. So for the nutritional formulas, which there are either general ones for health and anti-aging, brain formulas, joint formulas that are clinically tested, and so forth, that site is www.gematria.com. If people are interested in the work with stem cell therapy and learning about some of the international studies that are going on, supported by the governments in those countries, they can go to QIGENIX.com, and Q, which is spelled QI, stands for both quantum information as well as Qi, as in the life force principle. So it's a play both on quantum information and life force, and how the two work together. And the life force can be enhanced by the right kind of vibrations. And then for those interested in quantum choirs and the use of making tones and tonal patterns with the voice for personal transformation, there are two sites. One is Pineal Tones, PinealTones.com. And if you'd like to see some video of a choir with 400 singers in Mount Shasta and how it works with two groups of hundreds of people singing different things and what it sounds like, there is a really cool website called Rosetta Tones. Instead of Rosetta Tone, Rosetta Stone, which is the language program. It's Rosetta Tone. So RosettaTones.com. They'll give a nice sampling of the different types of things that we're doing, from the high scientific end with stem cells and guiding them through tissue with vibrational patterns, to basic and sophisticated nutrition, to the things that are more esoteric with sounds and sound patterns.
Wow. Very nice. You know, every now and again, a guest comes along that's so over the top, and you've so hit this mark. It's been such a delight and a pleasure having you on the show tonight. I so appreciate you taking the time to be our guest. I wanted to thank you for spending this time with us.
Well, it has been my absolute great pleasure being with you this evening.
We've been talking with Dr. Todd Ovakitis, and you can tell from the dialogue it's been quite the conversation. And more of what we discover about ourselves is that we're really very powerful beings having a human experience. And I just love bringing episodes to you like this one that just reinforces that, because we're reawakening to the truth of who we are as divine beings having a human experience. There's really no limit to what we can discover about ourselves. Well, it's been my pleasure sharing this time with you tonight. I'm your host, Les Jensen. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.